This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. The Pentagon says U.S. airstrikes in Iraq overnight likely killed several Iran-backed militants with Hezbollah. The U.S. airstrikes were in retaliation to an earlier drone attack Monday by the militant group that left three U.S. soldiers wounded in Iraq, including one critically. The White House says the retaliatory U.S. strikes targeted Hezbollah's unmanned aerial drone operations. They say President Biden was presented with a range of different options and decided to go with the strike. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin characterized the U.S. action as necessary and proportionate. New details are out about who's donating money to the re-election campaign of President Biden.
According to new data released by the Federal Election Commission, President Joe Biden's primary fundraising arms have received an outsized amount of support from the most expensive zip codes in the country. Residents of America's 10 most expensive zip codes have donated a total of just over $7.5 billion to the Biden campaign and the Biden Victory Fund this year, or roughly $930 a person. I'm Tim Berg.
Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene has reported a false crime at her home on Christmas. It's just the latest occurrence in a series of swatting incidents targeting Greene. Swatting involves making prank calls to authorities to prompt a SWAT team response under false pretenses of an ongoing crime. Greene revealed this latest incident marks the eighth occurrence for her. She emphasized the strain on her local police, whom she commended, as well as the strain on her household. The jackpot for Wednesday night's Powerball drawing should roll over to roughly $685 million after no tickets are reported to have matched all six numbers in last night's drawing. This is USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
As the cold and flu season approaches, Silver Lungs is ready to help you and your family through the toughest of the year by supporting your immune system and overall health. From our best-selling colloidal silver generating system to our entire line of silver-based skin gels, nasal sprays, soaps, and silver solutions. Silver solutions remain one of nature's most powerful and least expensive antibacterial agents. Now you can produce your own for pennies a day in the comfort of your home using the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs generator. Learn more today at www.silverlungs.com.
Most Americans are not able to afford to buy homes listed for sale in the U.S. That's according to a recent report released by national real estate analysts with Redfin. The company reviewed listings from the top 97 metro areas in the country and found just 15% of the homes for sale were affordable for the average U.S. family. That's down from last year, when closer to 20% of the listed homes were considered affordable. There's also a lower number of homes for sale in general. An unaccompanied six-year-old child was flying on Spirit Airlines to visit his grandmother in Fort Myers, Florida, when he was put on the wrong flight. Corey Myers has the story.
Spirit Airlines, apologizing to the family, said the child was never in danger or unsupervised and was with one of their team members the entire time. Instead of boarding a plane from Philly to Fort Myers, the minor was put on a flight to Orlando. He called his grandmother when he landed. She drove 160 miles to pick him up. An internal investigation is being conducted by Spirit Airlines.
In the upcoming months, two American companies are gearing up to dispatch unmanned spacecraft to the moon's surface. Both projects are supported by funding from NASA. Astrobotic, headquartered in Pittsburgh, aims to launch next month, with Houston-based Intuitive Machines following suit a month later. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-254-1421. 800-254-1421. 800-254-1421. That's 800-254-1421.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, welcome to the Bill Martinez Show. Good to have you with us. And our next guest is J. Randy Tarabarelli. He's a New York Times bestselling author of Jackie, Janet, and Lee, a Kennedy historian that has documented the life of the Kennedys. His brand new book, Jackie, Public Private Secret, gives us an even deeper look after hundreds of interviews that have taken place. People were able to maybe be a little bit more open to address this iconic, not only a political figure, but as a just as a unique woman from American history. It's as I mentioned, he's a New York Times bestselling author. It's a fresh and often startling look at the life of the legendary former First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, based on hundreds of interviews with friends, family, and lovers over a 30-year period, as well as previously unreleased material from the JFK Library. This Kennedy historian paints an unforgettable new portrait of a woman whose flaws and contradictions only serve to make her even more iconic. This Kennedy historian author gives a unique and special view of this iconic figure, and we bring him on now. J. Randy Tarabarelli, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
How you doing, Bill? It's good to see you.
Hey, good to see you, Randy. In approaching Jackie, and you've known the Kennedys, you know, their whole sense, and I think the title of this is so perfect because there's the public side, the private side, and certainly the secret side of Jackie that is revealed like never before in this book.
Well, you know, the title is interesting, Bill, because it actually came from Jackie in a conversation that she had with John Warnicke, who was the man who designed the JFK gravesite at Arlington. They remained friends throughout Jackie's entire life. And at around the time of her 60th birthday, they were having a conversation about a private matter. And Jackie said to John, oh, you know, she called him Jack. She said, yeah. Jack, you know me. I have three lives, public, private, and secret. Mm-hmm. And that's where the title came from. And it certainly is true of Jackie, as it is of most people in the public eye. You right. know, as you said, you know, public life mm-hmm. that we all know about, a private life that perhaps her friends and family knew about, and then a secret life that not many people knew about at all.
Well, did Warnicke fit more in that secret life area?
He absolutely did, Bill. And I think mm-hmm. it's astonishing because Warnicke had a 3-year love affair with Jackie from 1964 to 1967 that somehow, I don't know how you can imagine this, but somehow mm-hmm. the public did not know about. Uh-huh. And I asked John, how were you able to keep a 3-year relationship with the most famous woman in the world private? And he said, you know, you just simply didn't blab about it to the press. And, and that's what they did, you know. And when you think about it, it's amazing to kind of acknowledge that celebrities can have a private life if they choose to, you know, not go to the media and not be seen in public. And, you know, there are ways to have, there are ways to have a private life. And Jackie had, she figured that out early in her life. Today, I think it might be more difficult with social media.
Right.
You know, today people really, you know, can't have as much privacy as they might have been able to have in the 60s because everywhere they go, they're photographed and, you know, their entire lives are up on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and Twitter. But back in the 60s, you know, you were actually able to have a 3-year affair with a private person, an architect, actually, and not have it become headline news.
Well, also, you know, you have the devolution of politics and the, you know, the coin of the realm, which is leaks and secrets. And, you know, today those are quite, you know, fully displayed. So it's hard, as you say, in today. And I don't know necessarily it's social media as much as it is, you know, the journalistic class. They seem to be more gossip columnists than journalists, in my humble opinion, Randy. And that might sound a little harsh, so forgive me.
No, I totally agree with you, Bill. I totally agree with you. You know, that there, Jackie is of a time and place, and so many people who've read my book have brought this to my attention, you know, that there was once upon a time, people were given privacy, and there were not secretaries leaking information. You know, there was no family member that she had who was going to the press with information about her. You know, there was trust. You know, and we don't necessarily have that today. Today, most public figures have that person in their circle who's going to TMZ, with information. And that wasn't necessarily the case back in a certain time in a certain place.
Well, the only person that had those kind of files was J. Edgar Hoover, right?
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And J. Edgar Hoover, you know, I have had the opportunity to go into the FBI's files on J. Edgar Hoover. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you the honest truth, Bill, and I never had an opportunity to discuss this. In fact, I don't think I've ever discussed this on air anywhere. But, man, those files are so full of misinformation. You know, like back then and perhaps even today, I don't want to know. I don't want to speak about today, but perhaps even today. Any person can go to the FBI with information, and that information becomes a part of the FBI's files, whether it's true or not. And I decided a long time ago to ignore the FBI's files on all Kennedys across the board because they cannot be verified. It's just information that has been given to the FBI that the FBI then includes in its files. And then that information is deemed to be relevant and, you know, and acknowledged as true when actually it's just information that's just going out there without anybody nobody like me going back to verify its accuracy. You know, I can't use every story that comes my way in my books.
Exactly.
You know, I just can't. You know, you have to go back and you've got to double source it, triple source it. You have to figure out if it's accurate. You have to figure out if the person has an axe to grind. You have to figure out, you know, what the motivation is of the source. But often the FBI just includes it in its files and people look it up and they see it there and they think it's true and it's really not.
Well, and the thing that makes it so dangerous, Randy, to your point, is somebody might pick up on it and they make a headline out of it. And it hasn't been properly vetted. But, you know, this, again, is what we've been reduced to, is whatever will get a click, whatever will get a headline. This is where social media comes into play, you know, to your point. And this is dangerous, and this is disinformation. But right now, you know, we need to have some discipline and understanding how we categorize our information, whether it is truly disinformation or if it's just some 30-somethings idea of disinformation because it doesn't rhyme with their emotional reason.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service, featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Call 800-559-7562 to customize your plan. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-559-7562. That's 800-559-7562.
Talking with J. Randy Taraborelli, New York Times bestselling author, his new book, Jackie, Public, Private, Secret. Randy, as a Kennedy historian, let's go back and rewind for just a moment and consider Jackie as a child. Bring us up to date. Tell us about her upbringing.
Well, she was born and raised in New York City. You know, her mom, Janet Auchincloss, was a formidable presence in her life. She was She was tough. She was strict. She was, you know, I wrote an entire book about her, Jackie, Janet, and Lee. And I'm a big fan of Janet Auchincloss's, but, you know, she did have her own way of raising her two daughters, Jackie and Jackie's sister, Lee. I'm lucky enough to have as my one of my primary sources Janet's only son, Jamie Auchincloss, who is Jackie's half brother, and who was able to give me a real sense of how Jackie was raised in New York, and the trouble and the problems that her mother Janet had with Jackie's father, Jack Bouvier, who was unfaithful to her for many years until they finally divorced, and then Janet remarried a gentleman named Hugh Auchincloss, and this is Jamie's father, who was very wealthy. And when Jackie was 13 years old, she moved into this big estate in Newport, which was Hugh's home, Hammersmith Farms. And Jackie and Hugh Auchincloss, her stepfather, were very close, and Hugh actually gave her away at both of her weddings. Yeah. And in this book, Public Private Secret, I spent a lot of time explaining who Hugh Auchincloss was, because he's never been written about before, and he's a fascinating man, and he really is very largely responsible for helping to raise Jackie.
Yeah. Well, it says a lot, you know, when you consider the chemistry. I mean, he's her stepfather, but you have this sense that they enjoyed a very, very special relationship, didn't they?
Well, yeah, thank you for saying that, Bill, because it's very true. In fact, on the night that JFK was assassinated, Jackie asked Hugh to please sleep in JFK's bed in the White House. And a lot of people were like, well, that is the strangest request ever. Yeah. You know, I mean, and Hugh felt very awkward. He had never even been in JFK's bedroom. And so to sleep in JFK's bed the night that he was murdered, Hugh didn't know what to make of that. Yeah. But Jamie, his son, explained to me that what they finally figured out was that Jackie realized somebody was going to sleep in that bed, because the White House was filled with people.
Yes.
Relatives and diplomats and dignitaries and friends and associates. And Jackie was afraid that some person was going to end up in that bed who shouldn't have ever had the honor. And so she wanted to make sure that she was able to control that. And so she asked Hugh Auchincloss to please sleep in that bed that night, and he did.
Can you imagine, Randy, the capacity for her to consider that in the midst of all that she was dealing with, the grief? She always seemed to be ahead of everyone else, and especially this seemed to be manifest quite clearly during the whole process of, you know, the funeral and, you know, in orchestrating all the elements of JFK's, you know, funeral. It's amazing. But to think that even that she would consider, how could she do that? I mean, I would think my brain would be going in so many 50 million directions. I couldn't even think about eating or anything else.
Well, you know, the rest of that story, Bill, is that, you know, late into the evening, there was a knock on the door, and Hugh went to answer it, and it was Jackie. And she was crying, and she said that, you know, she wasn't able to sleep and she was having nightmares. And he brought her into the bedroom, and he put her into the president's bed and pulled the covers up over her. And he sat with her for the rest of the night. So as much as she was trying to keep it together and, you know, she had lists and she was organized and she was trying her best to, you know, sort of facilitate this international event, this funeral.
Exactly.
Privately, she really was falling apart.
You know, you talk about her organization. This was part of her wiring. I mean, she had a great skill set when it came to organizing, right?
She really did. You know, and I think that she got that from her mom, from, you know, Janet Auchincloss. You know, that everything had to be exactly right for the funeral, and she wanted to make sure, you know, that there were that nothing went wrong, and you know, and that took a toll, you know, but she felt a responsibility to the country,
right,
and to the president, to give him the kind of send off that would be historical and would always be remembered and also that would hold the country together during this terrible time. You know,
That's the thing that stuck out for me as well, Randy, was that her capacity to consider the hearts of the country. You know, here she is. I mean, it's almost like she made a deliberate decision and choice to set her emotions aside for the sake of the country's.
That is so true, and that's such a great way of putting it, Bill, because that is exactly the case. But I want to also say that because she was able to put forth, you know, this image of strength, and of course it wasn't real image making, and she really was strong, and she really was great. But the public began to feel like she was fine, you know, because there she is, and she looks like she is, you know, she's a rock of, you know, fortitude and strength, but you know, she suffered from PTSD over what happened to JFK for the rest of her life, all the way to the end of her life. In fact, the last conversation that John Warnicke, the architect that we mentioned earlier, the last conversation that he had with Jackie, which was shortly before her death, he asked her if she had any regrets. And according to what he told me, she said that she had one regret, and her regret was that she allowed Dallas, the assassination, to poison her entire life. Wow. And she was never able to reconcile what happened to JFK that day and the way that he died right at her side. And it really speaks a lot to Jackie's, you know, sort of survivor instinct, that she told Warnicke that she felt that if she had just 10 more years, she would be able to deal with what happened in Dallas. And think of this. She had been trying to deal with it for 30 years by this time. Yes. And she felt that if she only had 10 more years, she'd be able to do it. And that really says a lot about, you know, PTSD and how difficult it is to cope with this kind of trauma and tragedy in a person's life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I can only imagine, Randy, I mean, here it is at every anniversary of the president's assassination. I mean, how could she avoid, you know, being reminded, either, you know, just passing a television set by accident or whatever, turning on a radio, hearing, you know, again, the announcement from Walter Cronkite that the president was dead. I mean, things like that. How do you, when you're dealing with PTSD and constantly reminded of the pain that had given you and captured your psychology and your mentality for all these years, it's almost like she couldn't get away from it, could she?
Well, you're exactly right. You know, John Kennedy Jr. told me, I interviewed him back in the 1990s, and something he told me, and I included in the book because it just affected me so, was that at every anniversary of his father's death, there would be magazine articles and there would be all pictures of Jackie at the assassination wearing the pink dress with the blood on it.
Right.
And John would always go to his mother and take these magazines from her and hide them and tell her, you know, I don't want you to see these things. You know, like he was so protective of her that he just did not want her to be reminded of this terrible day that continued to haunt her for her entire life. And there are stories in the book about the different anniversaries along the way. Mm-hmm. And one of them is, you know, I think it was the 10th anniversary, and she was at Ethel Kennedy's home in Hickory Hill, and Ethel Kennedy was having a mass at the house for JFK, and also for Bobby, of course.
Right.
And Jackie and Ethel were trying to console each other, and they just could not believe that this terrible thing had happened to both of them.
Yes,
imagine the sisters-in-law. Yeah. Imagine two sisters-in-law in a family who witnessed the murder of their husband in exactly the same way, a shot to the head.
Well, we're talking with New York Times bestselling author J. Randy Tarabarelli. Jackie, public, private, secret. More from him after this. Stay with us.
This report is sponsored by IBM. The climate crisis is one of our greatest challenges, and businesses play a significant role in minimizing environmental impact. According to a survey by the IBM Institute for Business Value, 86% of executives have a sustainability strategy in place, but only 35% have acted on it. With its ability to instantly analyze environmental data and optimize operations, generative AI can be a vital tool to turn sustainability aspirations into actions. In fact, 69% of organizations plan to increase their investment in generative AI for sustainability. Odeya Bosch, Global Sustainability Leader, IBM Consulting.
Data is the lifeblood of sustainability efforts, and generative AI can supercharge these efforts, making data operations better and more efficient, reducing costs, emissions, and waste, so organizations can reach both sustainability and financial goals.
To learn more, visit ibm.com/IBV.
USA News Update. A federal judge has ruled against the social media company X, saying it violated its contract with employees. Back in June, a lawsuit was filed after X promised millions of employees they would receive half of their bonuses in 2022. X never delivered on the promise. On Friday, the judge sided with employees and ruled the company did, in fact, violate its contract. A United States senator standing up for a privately held company to stay closed on Sunday due to the Christian belief of its founder. USA's Laura Winters reports.
South Carolina Senator Republican Lindsey Graham saying he will step in and go to war with New York State if lawmakers in Albany pass a bill to force some Chick-fil-A restaurants to operate 7 days a week. The iconic chicken chain has always been closed on Sundays in keeping with the religious belief of its Christian founder from Georgia, Truett Cathy.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. We're talking with New York Times bestselling author J. Randy Terborelli, his new book, Jackie, Public, Private, Secret. Randy, let's revisit a little bit and remember how Jackie, you know, became a Kennedy and the courtship between her and John F. Kennedy.
I think what's interesting, Bill, is that it's because of Jackie's mom, really, that Jackie ended up with JFK. Mm-hmm. What I learned while researching this book was that JFK's interest originally was in Jackie's sister, Lee. Mm-hmm. And Jackie was fine with that. She didn't have an attraction to JFK, and she mm-hmm. was fine with her sister being with JFK. However, it was their mother, Janet, who said, you know, her quote was that it's time to get Jackie settled. And back in the 1950s, if a woman wasn't settled by the time she was 23, meaning married with children,
yeah, right,
then there was an issue.
Right.
And Janet just felt like it was time for Jackie to be settled because Lee was only 19, Jackie was 23.
Mm-hmm.
And so Janet said to Jackie, you need to, you know, reintroduce yourself to JFK and see if there's something there, and you need to try harder, is what she told her. And so ultimately, that's what happened, and yeah. JFK became interested in Jackie. But you have to wonder, and this chapter in my book mm-hmm. is called What If for yeah. a reason, because you have to wonder, what if Janet had not intervened? Would it be possible that Lee Radziwill would have had Jackie's life?
Yeah.
And believe me, I'm not the first person to wonder this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because everybody in the family has been wondering about this for, you know, more than 50 years, you know, that Jamie.
But were the two girls, though, that similar, that there could have been that interchange? Because I sense that, you know, these were two unique women raised by a strong mom who definitely had a plan. But I at least maybe I'm mistaken here, Randy, but I kind of see them as two unique individuals, you know, but I can appreciate why somebody said, well, what if? Yeah, right.
Well, you know, they were very different, and but they were both very beautiful, and they were very charismatic, and his original interest was in Lee. So so that's just the fact, and you have to wonder if they had let nature take its course, you know, would he have ended up with the one that he was interested in, as opposed to the other one? You know, who knows? But I just think
was there any indication of JFK looking over his shoulder and saying shoulda, coulda, woulda?
No, not to my knowledge, there wasn't. You know, once he got to know Jackie, it was really hard to resist her. Mm-hmm. You know, and she was, you know, she had a style all her own, and the two of them fell in love, and, you know, and that was the story. But, you know, there was always a rivalry and a tension between Jackie and her sister Lee. And I would say, that it doesn't stretch the imagination to think that this situation probably only intensified.
Right. You married my man. How dare you?
Right. And then, go ahead, Bill.
But to your point, whenever you look at pictures of JFK and Jackie, they look like they were just enjoying themselves. I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, these are random pictures. It wasn't like, hey, pose for the camera. I mean, they genuinely looked like they were enjoying themselves, especially when they were around the kids.
I think that, you know, that you're right about that. You know, they had a great love and affection for each other. And it was not easy for Jackie because we all know about JFK's infidelities.
Right.
You know, and she, you know, she had to learn to live with that and had to figure out how to, you know, how to navigate that marriage despite all of that.
Right.
And, you know, the mom, I have to say, according to Janet's son, Jamie, Janet had a lot of reservations about having campaigned so hard for JFK once Jackie was in the marriage and they realized that JFK was not going to be faithful. Right. You know, the mom felt responsible for, you know, some of the heartbreak that her daughter experienced in the marriage. This isn't to say that Jackie wasn't happy. It's just to say that it wasn't easy, you know.
Yeah. Well, and, I bet, because you're talking about a time when the idea of sex addiction wasn't that prevalent, right?
Yes, you are. And you're talking also about a time when, you know, prior to the feminism movement of the 1970s, women were a little bit more accepting of these kinds of things. You know, like they used to say great men have great flaws.
Yes.
In order to sort of justify this kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. And Jackie felt very differently about all of this in the 1970s. Because, you know, in the 1960s, when Joan Kennedy, Ted Kennedy's wife, went to Jackie to ask her, what do I do about Ted's infidelity? Jackie told her, well, you know, you just have to, you have to deal with it. You know, you have to deal with it for the family and you just have to deal with it. In the 1970s, when Ted was still being unfaithful to Joan.
Right.
And Joan went to Jackie and asked for advice. Jackie gave Joan her divorce lawyer. You know, so you see this gradual evolution in women, you know, from the 60s to the 70s, and many of their, you know, the ways that they thought about marriage in the 1960s, they no longer felt that way in the 1970s, and Jackie certainly did not.
You know, Randy, that could almost be a book in itself if you just did a historical perspective on first ladies that were cheated on.
Oh my gosh! You got to wonder.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I personally think that maybe the only I don't really think I can think of a president who didn't cheat on his wife. You know, other than I guess perhaps Barack Obama. I would be surprised to find if that's I've never heard of a Barack Obama mistress, but.
Right.
You certainly heard of, you know what? I've never heard of a George W. Bush mistress.
They tried to throw Condoleezza Rice in the pit a couple of times. But that's the nature. You know, they're always, you're
I've never heard, I mean, I've written a book about, Barbara Bush, Laura Bush, and Dorothy Bush. It was called Grace and Steel. And I did a lot of research on George W. And I've never heard of a George W. Bush mistress that I personally believed. So I think that, you know, I think that that's kind of the, maybe the exception to the rule. You're right. It would be an interesting research project, you know, to do something like that.
Well, you know, it's amazing because as you look and you're appreciating all these dynamics, you have, a big component of, you know, the Kennedy mistake was Camelot. And you write about that. Tell us.
Well, you know, when JFK, after JFK was assassinated, Jackie, you know, wanted to frame the Kennedy presidency in a way that would be memorable. And and she, you know, had sort of romanticized, if you will, a lot of what happened as, you know, Camelot. And a lot of people felt that JFK would never have approved of that, you know, that was much more romantic in thinking than JFK ever was as a man or as a president. But Jackie was a very sort of fanciful, romantic, imaginative, creative person. And she gave an interview, you know, spoke of Camelot, and that caught on after that interview.
Boy, it sure did.
And, yeah, and see, even today, people think of, you know, the Kennedy administration as a sort of, you know, idealistic Camelot-like administration.
We come back. We've got more from J. Randy Tarbarelli. The book, Jackie, Public, Private, and Secret. Stay with us. More after this.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court, thanks to treating my skin and joints with SkyRisi, Risankizumab Risa, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults.
Nothing is everything.
SkyRisi helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRisi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRisi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about SkyRisi and visit SkyRisi.com or call 1-866-SKY-RISI to learn more.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it, and you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine2bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine2bar. Vine2bar chocolate. Visit us at vine2bar.com.
Back, Bill Martinez here. We're talking with J. Randy Tarbarelli, his new book, Jackie, Public Private Secret, New York Times best-selling author, comes a fresh, often startling look at the life of this legendary First Lady, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. It's based on hundreds of interviews with friends, family, and lovers over a 30-year period, as well as previously unreleased material from the JFK Library. The Kennedy historian paints an unforgettable new portrait of a woman whose flaws and contradictions only serve to make her even that much more endearing and iconic, I might say. And before the break, we were talking, Randy, that when you go and you interview people and you give them samples of past interviews, and the other thing that I appreciate about your approach to this is that if an interviewee had any contest with what you said and were uncomfortable and wanted to edit or be eliminated, you didn't necessarily pitch a fit. You accommodated their request. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, Bill, it happens all the time. You know, because I do something that most reporters don't do, and I understand why they don't do it.
Yeah.
And maybe they have good reasons, but for me, I have never wanted to have a person be interviewed for one of my books and then be filled with regret right. about having said who knows what, you know. And so what I do is I send a transcript of what it is that they said back to them so that they can have an opportunity to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, 99.99% of the time they will change it. You know, because nothing is more shocking than seeing your words in print, you know, but I'd rather they have an opportunity to do that before the book comes out than be upset about the book, because these are people's precious family memories, you know, and gosh, you know, no story is worth having somebody be upset over having shared it. I'd rather – look, I tell my research team there are so many stories in the world. This one particular story that this person doesn't want told doesn't need to be told. Exactly. I always say just because something is true doesn't mean it needs to be known.
Right.
You know? And you might think that that's strange coming from a biographer, but I do still adhere to that. Just because something is true doesn't mean it needs to be known. You know,
I think that's a value that your parents instilled on you. That's old school. I was raised the same way about doing unto others the way you would want them to do unto you. And we've lost sight of that, Randy. And this culture, our country is paying a price for the lack of civility and common, what we would refer to as common respect. today in the social media world, as we touched on. It's all about clicks, about salaciousness, just about, raising curiosities in an area that doesn't necessarily benefit anybody. But the person that's putting it out there, they think, because in the long run, if that was your modus operandi, people wouldn't want to talk to you. And even if they did, they would just know, well, this is the type of journalist Randy is. And they would question maybe, well, certainly, a little bit of your integrity, if not your ethics.
Well, thank you for saying that. I agree with you. You know, my book debuted, on Sunday on the New York Times list at number 3.
Wow.
You know, which is a pretty high debut. And I think that there's a fascination about Jackie, of course, that is enduring, and people want, they want it to be approached respectfully, mm-hmm. and that's what I tried to do with this book. I tried to be as respectful of her as I possibly could, but at the same time, I wanted to tell a real true story about her that would be historically accurate and, and withstand the test of time. So I'm hoping that I was able to achieve that with this book.
Well, I got to tell you, Randy, I believe you did. This is just, for people who have a sense of endearment for the First Lady, as you said, she wasn't an angel. She wasn't perfect, but she was another one of us, in the journey of life, a mother, a wife, an iconic figure and blessed in so many ways. And here it is. I mean, she's there, experiencing, like you said, the traumatic experience of, watching her husband's head blown off and, and going through all that. And as you said, suffering with PTSD till the day she died. And even afterwards, trying to find some respite, some place where she could go and maybe process, what had happened to her. Because, one moment, she's the First Lady, she's in the White House, and the next moment, things are being packed and her world's upside down here. I can only imagine what she must have endured.
Well, you're absolutely right, Bill. I mean, her identity, her whole identity became, the First Lady.
Yeah.
And when that was taken from her, it was instantaneously taken from her, They wanted her out of the White House and LBJ was so nice to her. Mm-hmm. And he allowed her to stay far longer than, any president should have been expected to allow the former family to stay at the White House, but mm-hmm. he was very gracious to her. But her life changed. And also, as I wrote in the book, her family's life changed.
Exactly.
Hugh Auchincloss, he said to Jamie at one point, we lost it all. Like the entire family's existence had
been. Her whole identity.
The president would go to their home in Newport for weekends. It was called the Newport White House. They got used mm-hmm. to the idea of, the president is coming on Friday. They loved JFK. They loved America. Mm-hmm. They were patriots.
Right.
And when all that was just taken from them, it not only affected Jackie, but it affected everybody in the family. Mm-hmm. And they all had to figure out, how do we go forward now?
Right. There was often written about the contention, the dynamic tension between the president and vice president, JFK and Lyndon Baines Johnson. It's heartwarming to consider that Lyndon, was compassionate towards Jackie in allowing her to make the transition, because it doesn't necessarily comport with the kind of things that were thrown out about these two families.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I had the opportunity to go to the LBJ library and see dozens of letters between Jackie and LBJ over the years, over the span of his life.
Mm-hmm.
He was only 64 when he died, which yeah. is astonishing to me. If you read this correspondence, you see how close they were. And how much affection Jackie had. And, you know, they shared this moment in time, you know.
Exactly.
And there's a terrible picture of them on Air Force One, you know, when LBJ is coming back and he's taking the oath of office and Jackie is standing there looking, you know, paralyzed. And it's just they shared this time and I think they never forgot it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left here, Randy. We hadn't even touched on the relationship, the marriage, you know, with Onassis and also, you know, her final days. So I'm going to let you kind of summarize that and, you know, take us to the end here. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, we're talking about, you know, 35 years, but I can just say that, you know, she did find happiness,
yes.
You know, and she, you know, despite her PTSD, she did find happiness. And you know, I want to also say that, you know, she was her mother's biggest champion when Janet was suffering from Alzheimer's. And Jackie became, as I wrote in this book for the first time, her chief and primary caretaker for 10 years.
Wow.
You know, and it's a real interesting and good story of a daughter caring for her mother during the most challenging time in the mom's life. And I think it's a story that should be told because many people can identify with, you know, caring for an elderly parent with Alzheimer's. It's not easy. And Jackie somehow did it while she was also an editor at Doubleday in New York City, working 5 days a week in New York, going to Newport on weekends to care for her mother, and without anybody knowing anything about it until now.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, it's a good story, and I hope people have a chance to read the book. I think that they'll enjoy it.
Yeah, without a doubt, it is one that just keeps, you know, it captures you from one chapter to the next, Randy. You, it is so well written, and you've blessed us greatly by doing that. And I didn't mean to, you know, put you on the spot so much because there's just so much more. And I know that even the first time you and I said, look, we need more time. And even now that we got more time, we need more time again. But for, you know, for our viewers, you got all the time, once you get your hands on the book from J. Randy Tarabarelli, New York Times bestselling author of Jackie, Janet, and Lee, this new book, Jackie, Public, Private, and Secret, about a minute left here. What's your want and hope and desire that, the readers would take, you know, from this, because you gave us a lot of new things to think about and to understand about this iconic figure that, you know, still is held in highest esteem in our hearts.
Thanks for asking, Bill. I just want to bring people closer to you know, to the legend. It's funny, when JFK was assassinated, Jackie said, now he's legend when he would have preferred to just be human. Mm-hmm. And that is true of Jackie as well. You know, she's a legend, but all she really wanted to do was be a woman and a mother and a daughter, you know. And so this book is really about, you know, the woman, the mother, the daughter, the sister, and the person that Jackie was. So thanks for having me on to talk about it, Bill. I really appreciate it.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Do you know someone with